Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the maize and blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Brandler.
I'm just going to start by saying go blue.
Welcome back, everybody, on a normal, regular program, Wednesday night.
No.
Just want to start by saying go blue. Chris is getting ready to crack one. Oh, he still got one on reserve. How about that?
Loaded. Loaded, man. What a – dude, I feel like we have some things to talk about tonight.
Well, there's a few. Chris, was that Nardo Wick that was playing when I sat down, or was that
– That was Nardo Wick. Look, for all of y'all that think I'm like, you know, too old, out of the loop, whatever, your boy was down here getting into workout on the punching bag to Nardo Wick. So, you know, give me a little bit of credit.
Wow.
You don't get much harder than that, right?
And that's our show for tonight. We'll see you next week on...
Having these people out there like, Nardo Wick, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, he's not my go-to, but Chris has turned me on to a couple people along the way. And
A little bit on the angrier side. It's a little bit on the drive-by E side, but, you know, that's how I roll.
A little aggressive.
I'm in that mode today.
I'm a little bit more of a good vibe party kind of guy. Chris wants to stop everyone from breathing.
So that's, dude, all I want to do is spin the block. That's it.
Dude, just wiping people down, dude. That's all it is, man.
Lately.
Well, it happens from time to time in this market. We've talked about it before, but we'll start off with some, I guess we'll call it good news, man. I mean, you'd rather see a smaller number, I guess, but Michigan finishing the season at number 3 in the final AP poll, yes, a win over TCU. Good Lord, dude. I don't know if it would have mattered the way Georgia looked in that game, but.
Have we done a live since? No, this is our first live since that national championship game.
Yeah.
God damn, was that painful to watch.
Unreal.
I felt like after the Michigan game was over and the loss had sunk in, I was kind of over it, had made peace with it. And then Monday happened and. Not only did all those emotions of the loss come back, but it came back and it hit me harder and worse because I was like, it literally took TCU's best effort to beat Michigan's worst effort. Mm-hmm. And the result was still a 6-point loss. And I know I put it out on Twitter. I put it out on social media. Guarantee you if the Wolverines were in that national championship game. Now, granted, they squandered that opportunity, didn't earn the right to be there. But had they been there, I don't know if they would have won. But it sure as hell wouldn't have been 65-7. I can say that pretty confidently.
I agree with you, but Georgia's freaking good, dude. God, they're good.
Yeah, but you know what? When you play a shitty team like that, that's far overmatched, it's easy to look that way.
I do think that was a really imperfect / perfect storm, whatever you want to call it, when Michigan played the way they played and TCU played the way they played to get that win, and they clearly didn't belong on the field with Georgia. Now, I don't know. I mean, we saw how Georgia looked against Michigan last year. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't good. And I don't know if it would have made a difference, but I sure would have liked to see a chance because it was clear from instantly. It was instantly clear that TCU had nothing for Georgia.
Like, I had one of my neighbors come over. He's an electrician. And we were chopping it up a little bit. He's doing some work in the house and. He actually put money on TCU. He's like, I'm feeling pretty good about TCU to cover the spread. And I told him flat out, I said, listen, TCU is going to get their asses kicked. They gave Michigan their best effort, probably not of the year, but of the decade. I mean, that was everything they had in the tank. I knew that game was going to go that way. I probably wouldn't have predicted 65-7, but it just became clear to me that once again, what a squandered opportunity by Michigan, if not to win a national championship, certainly to be in the game, to be there in LA, play for it, compete for it. And then all you got to do is once you get in the game is give yourself a chance. You know what I mean? They say any given Sunday, any given Saturday. I know that Georgia was loaded, but, you know, Michigan had some talent too. And I think the matchup between Georgia and Michigan would have been better and would have resulted in at least a more interesting product.
I saw somebody up here say, like, you can't use the transit. Dwayne Jones, there it was. You can't use the transitive property. And I know you can't. Like, matchups matter. timing matters, health matters, like all that stuff matters. But it's fun, and everybody always plays the game about the transitive property. And like, well, if this team beat this team, that means they would beat this team. And like, I know it doesn't work that way, but look at how Ohio State fought Georgia. Like, if that kicker doesn't have a club foot, they're playing ECU for the title game, and Michigan beat that ass.
So like, it's crazy to me. Listen, I remember saying that before we even left for Arizona was worst case scenario, Michigan loses to TCU, which at the time seemed unthinkable, and that Ohio State beats Georgia. Dude, we were this close to Ohio State, a missed field goal, Ohio State being crowned national champion. And I ask, and I talked a little bit about this on the social media page. Michigan obviously beat the shit out of the Buckeyes in November. Felt great to do that in Columbus, especially in Columbus. Plant the flag in the center of the field. I think it was awesome. Do you think if Ohio State goes on to win the national championship, that win in November almost kind of feels like empty, hollow?
It's right? Immediately like wiped away from, so, I mean, like you still have it. You can look back to it next year when the regular season rolls around, but we talked about this. It's just like what happened last year. Michigan State fans tried to be like, well, we got you in East Lansing. And everyone's like, cool, we'll see you in Indy. Like, well, I mean, like, nobody cared anymore at that point. Yeah. And it would have felt very similar to that. It wouldn't have meant much. I mean, yeah, dude, beating them by 21 in their house for the second year in a row, and like that carries weight, but it would have been wiped away very, very quickly compared to, you know, had it versus what did happen. I mean, sure. Michigan can hang on to that and lean on that. We can look back at that.
And with the expansion of the college football playoff coming here shortly,
right?
That, you know, those games, that last game in November, you know, chances are Michigan and Ohio State are still going to be good for a while. And with the expansion, Michigan and Ohio State are probably still going to have a very good shot at making the playoffs, regardless of who wins that last game in November. Yeah. And so to me, it just becomes that much more critical. And you've seen it with other teams. You've seen it with Clemson. You've seen it with Oklahoma. Everybody just assumes that, you know, the opportunities that Michigan's had over the last 2 years that, okay, you're here, this is how it's just going to be. You know, it's not always like that. The window of opportunity sometimes closes faster than you might think it would. And so you look at the way this roster is stacked for next year. And for me, you look at Michigan's schedule, who they've got coming back. You absolutely have to capitalize, get yourself back to the Big Ten championship, win that, get in the college football playoff, and compete for a national championship, because I don't think this is going to be a thing that is, you know, available to Michigan just every single year. It's not going to be a given, but they have that opportunity right now. The momentum is there. The talent is there. They've got to get it done before that window closes. And who knows how long that's going to be open.
Yeah. So now they finish the year at number three. They come into the next season, maybe right there, two or three, probably. I can't imagine them being much lower than that. Maybe a notch higher. Maybe I would guess it's two, three, or four. I don't know how you could put any other teams ahead of them next year. Besides Georgia. I mean, TCU is not going to be up there, certainly.
Who else are you going to put?
Ohio State seems to be getting a lot of love still. We can talk about that at length, how I think they're second or third. I think it's Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State are the three most likely to win the national title next year. Not really sure how they get to those numbers when Michigan's on a two-game winning streak against Ohio State and they got to come back to Ann Arbor next year. But, hey, let it play out and see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good spot to finish. I mean, there's only one spot that everybody wants, and if you can't get that one, then this is not a bad place to be.
You know what this whole thing taught me is that, you know, Michigan fans and I, you know, we're in that boat as well. We spent so many years, you know, sitting back at home, watching on TV, just thinking, man, how nice would it be to go to Indy? How nice would it be to compete for a Big Ten championship?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it happens. And Michigan not only gets there 2 years in a row, but they win it. They beat Ohio State. They get there. They're part of the college football playoff. And now after the 2 years of success, the college football season's over. We're 7 months away from more college football. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'll be honest, man, I'm feeling a little bit unsatisfied. And it's a weird place to be, given that Michigan beat Ohio State, won a conference championship, and went back to the college football playoff. But I feel a little bit unsatisfied. Am I just a spoiled fan at this point? Do I expect too much? It just goes to show you that unless you're the team raising the trophy at the end of the year, it doesn't really matter what level of success you reach. If you're not that team winning the national championship, there is going to be a certain level of disappointment when the season comes to an end. And I certainly felt that.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't think it's being spoiled. It's just like, oh, like you're there and you just want, I don't want to see Kirby Smart's goofy ass doing what he's doing. I want to see someone else doing it. What kind of hat is that, dude? Who are you, Nick Faldo? Get a regular hat.
That now, listen, I heard I've heard that that speech that was leaked online wasn't before the national championship game, that I think that might have come against LSU before,
Okay.
Earlier in this. But anyway, if you listen, if you're listening to this show and you have not heard that pregame speech by Kirby Smart, goddamn it, as soon as we're done with our show,
good.
Get on your phone, get on your computer, make sure the kids aren't around because you don't want them to hear the type of language in there. But if you want to hear a coach get their team riled up, ready to go out and rip somebody's head off, listen to that pregame speech by Kirby Smart and you'll see why those guys play the way they do. That was, and look, he's not alone in that, but hearing that, hearing the way he talked, I don't know, man. I wanted to go out and beat somebody's ass after I heard. I was looking for somebody to fight. I went walking around the neighborhood just waiting for somebody to look at me the wrong way.
As soon as Chris got done hearing that, he Googled Fox Cable Guy again. Like, again, dude. I'm like, Chris.
Where is that dude? Where's Cable Guy at?
Gone. All right, Nick, I'm just going to throw this up for a very quick second so I don't ignore you, but this is going to be a big part of our closing topic as we wrap the show, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it now. I'm going to offer up a very short, it's going to be dismissive, Nick. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know. Chris can defend you a little bit if he wants, but I think he feels.
Holy shit.
He says, offer Jim Harbaugh $15 million a year with a really high buyout over 5 years. If you think that's too much to compete for titles, you are insane. Nick, I got a very short answer for you. He wants the NFL. Period. Point blank. Period. He's wanted it for 3 years. He wanted it last year. He wanted it the year before that when they sucked. He wants it this year when they've been really good again. He wants the NFL. Period. Point blank. That's it. That's all I really need to say about it. And we're going to spend a lot more time diving into it towards the end of the show. But like,
then call me insane because I don't think Jim Harbaugh's worth $15 million a year. And again,
well, there is that.
We'll get back to that. You know, we'll address that in the show. But, you know, if you think that money is the deciding factor here, if you think that, you know, the guy made 10 mil this year, if you think making 11, 12, 13, 14, $15 million next year isn't going to put Michigan right back in the same position, if an NFL opportunity, the right one comes along, I don't know, man. I have a hard time believing that at this point, given, I mean, how, you know, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you go into a recruit's living room and you talk to him about the future and you say X, Y, and Z, how much can you believe him at this point?
Yeah. I mean, his statement last year was as definitive and cut and dry as it gets. I will not be doing this again. I mean, that it was it. There was no, we don't know the future. There was none of that. It was direct and to the point. And now, less than a year later, he's singing a different tune and he's taking interviews and he's doing all this same stuff.
And again, we'll get into it later in the show, but it's almost as if people think he just kind of put his hands over his eyes and signed that 5-year extension without knowing what was in it. Like,
right, yeah.
he was aware of the deal that he was signing. And so once again, we're here after another successful year and it's like, nope, need more. And we'll go into what it is, whether it's NIL, whether it's buyouts, whether it's incentives, whatever the hell it is. But the bottom line is you just can't keep doing this every single year. And I don't know that 10, 12, 13, 14, $15 million is going to be enough to keep you from doing it every year if the NFL is as big of a poll as it seems to be. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, so we will get to that. The other, I mean, monstrous positive news, the deuce is still going to be loose in Ann Arbor.
Woo!
Blake Corum.
How big is that?
All 5'8", 210 pounds is back, dude, to complete what I would say is the best running back room in the country.
There is no question that Michigan has the best running back duo in the country. Zero question about that. That backfield, when you take what Blake Corum brings to the table in terms of his physicality, the way he's able to shake and bake. And then Donovan Edwards, not only what he can do in the backfield, but then when you split him out wide and the threat he provides in the receiving game, those two are going to be a problem. And fingers crossed, because we didn't get it this year. We didn't get a fully healthy Blake Corum and a fully healthy Donovan Edwards throughout the year.
Almost never.
There was either one issue with one or one issue with the other. If they can keep both of those guys healthy through the season, my goodness, that is going to be a problem for anybody they face, because it's just the options are limitless with those two in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, objectively, he was a Heisman back. So that right there says he's the best back in the country. Then you just, oh, by the way, throw Donovan Edwards in there, who ask Ohio State what they think about him. Like, dude, this is a 1-2 punch that.
It wasn't that long ago. Pro Football Focus put out their top 10 way too early Heisman favorites. Mm-hmm. You know who was in the top 10? J.J. McCarthy, Donovan Edwards. They weren't even considering the fact that Blake Corum might.
Right.
So now you've got three guys who are legitimate Heisman Trophy contenders returning to Michigan on the offensive side of the ball. That's a great place to be.
Yeah, no doubt. John Patrick, you're absolutely right. You got to have an O-line in front of them, and there's a couple guys out there still waiting to make their decisions, Zach Zinner and Trevor Keegan. And that's a massive part of what Michigan does. I mean, you're talking guard to guard right there. Obviously, when you had Oluwatimi in between them last, it was dominant. I mean, Olu's the best center in the country. The O-line as a whole is the best group in the country. The tackles, at long, athletic, versatile. I mean, you've got multiple guys who can play multiple spots. I think the O-line is going to be really good again. Now, if Keegan and Zinner both come back, you're fine. Like, you're fine. Because then you have a combination of I think Drake Nugent's going to be the center, right? Like, it feels like that. Maybe not. Maybe Greg Crippen steps in. Maybe Reese Atterbury. Maybe Raheem Anderson. There's guys in there who have played some ball. But then you've got four or five guys battling it out at both tackle spots with transfer Ladarius Henderson, Miles Hinton, I said Trente Jones, Carson Barnhart, Andrew Gentry. Yep. I mean, you've got five dudes. Jeff Percy made a start last year. You've got plenty of guys in there now, tons of depth, and they can play. It's not just like,
what about Giovanni El-Hadid? He's also in the mix.
There you go. Right? Forgot about him because
he played well.
He obviously becomes a much bigger factor if one of Zinter or Keegan leave, or both, because I feel like El-Hadid can play both sides too. So, again, the versatility. I mean, Barnhart can play tackle or guard. I feel like Trente Jones is built more like a guard, even though he's played right tackle. Like, so to John Patrick's point, I think they're good. Like, I think they're fine. Now, will they be Joe Moore good again for the third year in a row? I don't know. But I think they've got a pretty damn good foundation of at least chasing it for a third year in a row. And you know they're going to run the ball, so they're going to have stats that look pretty good. Man, I think it's set up to be a dynamic rushing attack again. There's no doubt.
Look at the Ward Manuel hate just flowing in the comments.
Yeah, we're going to get to that too. I mean, Chris, it's going to be hard to ignore it till the very end. But I guess we don't have a whole lot left to go through in terms of the other stuff. So we'll get through it. Real quick, Chris. We got to give a small go back to that Illinois game. That's enough to get a shout out and a scholarship right there. But Isaiah Gash, on scholarship. Look, I've never been a big fan of playing walk-ons. I just haven't. Like, all the time I see him, I'm like, well, that's why he's a walk-on. Damn it, why is he in? But, like, he showed up in some big moments this year. I wasn't talking about Isaiah Gash when I made that blanket statement. I just meant in general. But against Illinois, he made some really big plays, converted a couple key, at least one or two key fourth downs. And Harbaugh's always spoken pretty highly of him, and now he's on scholarship, and that's always a cool thing for those guys who – you know, the blood, sweat, and tears that they put in, just like everybody else, they get rewarded a little bit. So cool to at least acknowledge that he's now on scholarship.
Yeah. And just as a side note, before I got kicked out of that open practice, whenever the hell they held it, Isaiah Gash came walking by me and I could not believe how small the guy was, like standing next to him. Like, dude's not very big, but you're right. In that Illinois game, on that game-winning drive, I think he had a fourth down catch. He had 24 yards on that drive. He came through in the clutch. Yeah. Obviously, he means a lot to the team, and it's always, always a cool thing to see when a walk-on guy earns a scholarship and he's going into his senior year. So kudos to him, man. I'm excited for him.
Oh, Matt, we're going to get into it. Matt,
I can see you frustrated over there.
I know. All right. Beilein wanted the NBA. He had been bitching about the way the NCAA rules and all that stuff had been going for several years. Didn't like to recruit and didn't like to recruit the way he, let me take that back. He liked to recruit, but he didn't like getting beat by people who didn't do it the right way. So that was the thing with Beilein. Dokic, I mean, dude, Bakic went back to where he started, got a bigger contract, more resources, and a more baseball friendly world where he got his start. And Hutch coached at Michigan for like 122 years. Like, they didn't lose her. Like, it was, dude, it's time to hang it up a little bit. Like, I'm not a Ward Manuel apologist. I don't love the guy. I think he's done some pretty boneheaded things.
But let's pump the.
But
pump
like, come on, man. Here. They didn't leave because of Ward Manuel.
Right? What I don't like, and what I've seen happen over the last 24 hours in particular, is this shift from like, okay, Jim Harbaugh's got it good here. Everything's working here. He should want to be here. He should make a decision, to now all of a sudden, well, this is really Ward Manuel's fault. All of this is Ward Manuel's fault. Now,
Chris, and now Malachi's coming at the haircut.
There, you know what? There will be no bald slander on this show. I can take the Android slander. I can take it. I can deal with it. I'm a man. But if you come at the bald haircut, listen, do I got to go? Vin Diesel, The Rock. Okay, I'm starting to run out of people already. There's a lot of...
Paul Feinbaum.
No, he's not in that category because he grows out the sides. If you grow out the sides, you're eliminated. But no, there will be no bald slander here. But here's what I don't like. All of the sudden now, after the Harbaugh fan base spent weeks saying he's a man of his word, he's not leaving, he's not going anywhere, the longer this is dragged on, now they're trying to find somebody else to blame, and it seems to be falling at the doorstep of Ward Manuel, that it's Ward Manuel's fault for a whole host of reasons, whether it be specifics in the contract, whether it be Ward's resistance to some NIL things that it seems like they want to do. Either way, this is Ward Manuel's fault. And I go back to what I said in our last show. Fine. You want to put some of the blame on Ward Manuel? Cool. But at what point in time does any of this fall at Jim Harbaugh's feet? Again, he signed a new contract last season. He knew what he was getting into. He knew what the situation at Michigan was. What changed in a year? What's the difference? Did he not know what he was signing up for when he signed a 5-year deal through 2026? I mean, what are we doing here?
How about when he's in Ward's office and says, "I'm not doing this again," and now is that Ward's fault? I mean, what are we doing here? Like, okay, Mel Pearson, not awesome, but I give. Somebody said like 3 championship coaches have left under his watch, and that's a trend. I don't see Beilein, Bakic, and Hutch leaving under Ward Manuel. I don't think that has anything to do with him. I really don't. And like I said, I don't go to bat for Ward Manuel. I don't support him blindly because I think he's doing such an awesome job. I just don't think those things are his fault.
I certainly don't think Jim Harbaugh's walking around as a victim in this whole thing. I mean, give me a break. The guy has been at the University of Michigan for a long time and just signed a new contract last year. If he had issues with the program and wasn't about it and didn't want to be here, then don't sign the damn contract. You knew Ward Manuel was going to be here. You knew what the situation was, and you knew what the terms of the deal were. Yeah. If you were going to find yourself, or if this was the plan to do this a year later, then why even sign the contract in the first place? And so, you know, and there's, again, I put it in quotations, reports, but there's even some donors, not going to name them by name, but the type of guy who claims to be total best friends with Jim Harbaugh.
Besties.
Okay? Besties. Spent his whole 2022 year working on an NIL deal that would benefit Michigan players. He throws this out there on Twitter today and then says, pitched it to Ward, and Ward said no, shot it down. Listen, I know I'm just a 14-year-old in my parents' basement spouting off here on a microphone, but correct me if I'm wrong. Since when the hell does Ward Manuel have to sign off on any NIL endeavors? I can tell you this, I've done NIL shit over the last 2 years, haven't had permission from Ward. You and I have paid players over the last 2 years for different things. Didn't ask Ward for a damn thing. So why all of a sudden now, if this super fan, former, you know, alum, donor, has all this money, all these connections, all these resources, why in the hell does he need Ward Manuel's position or permission to get this fund started, to get payers played? Something about it just doesn't make sense. And there seems to be a concerted effort out there to put all this on Ward Manuel and make Jim Harbaugh look like the good guy here, who's just a victim of the NCAA, of the media, of Ward Manuel. Everything is against Jim Harbaugh. And I just don't buy that bullshit. Yeah, I don't buy it.
This lowballing thing too, like I think Ward Manuel slurps Harbaugh. Like an athletic director with balls would have canned his ass after 2020. And correct. He didn't. He gave Jim Harbaugh way more leash than anybody should have gotten. Now, whether that would have happened under another athletic director because of Jim Harbaugh and who he is, that's you can debate that. But it's not like Ward Manuel, in my opinion, and Chris, you said this earlier, you were like, you want Ward to be even harder on Harbaugh. Like that. You tweeted that out like a week ago or whenever it was and caught some flack for
it. Make a goddamn decision.
Right. Right.
But I also want Ward to come out and say something, say that that's his position. Look, Jim Harbaugh wants more money. We're working on a deal. We're trying to get him what he wants, but we want Jim Harbaugh to be here. Okay, cool. Now we know where Ward stands. President Santa Ono came out and said, love Jim Harbaugh, want to keep him here. Jim Harbaugh came out with his half-ass statement, and we know what that statement was all about. But those two guys have at least said something. The problem I have with Ward Manuel is he hasn't said anything at this point.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
for me, it's like, just let everybody know what's going on so the speculation can stop. And to be quite honest, why in the hell is this still happening now? Did they not know that this situation was coming months ago? I mean, is this the first time that these people have talked? They work at the same goddamn university. Why is this? Right. Why is it now an issue? These things should have been hammered out months ago.
Well, yes, and I don't buy for 1 second. They did this last year when Ward finally did talk about some things. He's like, well, we always get together after the end of the year and really start. I'm like, what are you doing? Nice. What are you doing for the first 5 months then?
What are you doing?
What the hell are you doing? I don't know. So that's weird. And yes, whoever it was that said this. Yeah, Cody, this is where I also have a bit of an issue. It's like he's in a bunker somewhere. You can't find him.
Where is he?
The thing happens with Michigan State. He's at the podium within 10 seconds. I'm like, dude, what? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand the approach. I don't understand the thought process and like how you could. Yeah, Jacob Morris, you feel bad for the players. You feel bad for the assistant coaches. You feel bad for the strength staff.
And really, that's what this boils down to is while all this circus is going on and while all these people are speculating about whose fault it is, what's going to happen, what the deal is, at the end of the day, it's the players that I feel bad for and their families who really don't have a fucking clue of what's going to happen next. It's a bad, bad place to be in year after year.
Chris, how do you feel about labeling Jim Harbaugh as the golden goose?
Well, here's the thing. I think to a vast majority of this fan base, that's what Jim is. I think Jim is the golden goose. Jim is the savior. Jim is the reason for the Michigan turnaround. And I don't want to take away from the great job that Jim Harbaugh has done over the last 2 years. But do I think that he was the only man capable of doing that? No, I don't. And when you talk about paying a guy what he's worth and what he's earned, can we also acknowledge the fact that he got a pretty good contract right out of the gate and fell short year after year after year after year before finally they had to be like, we're cutting your pay, man. We got to cut your pay until you go out and earn it. So you can't have it both ways. This guy has made a lot of money here. And if NIL, I go back to, if NIL was such a big issue, then why sign back on for another 5-year deal with the University of Michigan when you knew what you were getting yourself into? Why? And
look, we said this too, Chris and I were talking earlier today when we were, you know, getting ready for the pod and discussing some year-end things. Ward doesn't have to do shit. He doesn't have to do a damn thing. Jim Harbaugh just signed a deal last year, and he's going to coach under it, whether he really wants to or not. He's either getting an NFL offer and leaving, which is what I believe he really wants to do, or he's going to be back at Michigan next year coaching on the second year of a five-year deal. Ward doesn't have to do anything. It was different last year because Jim Harbaugh was on an expiring contract, and you can't let a coach go through anything like that. There's no longevity. There is no faith shown when you're on the final year of a contract when it comes to recruiting and building your staff and trying to, you know, earn the trust of the people who are going to war with you, so to speak. But now he's on the second year of a five-year deal.
You know, I think that's a valid
cool,
thing.
Jim. Come on back to work. I'll see you in January.
I think February. People need to realize that listen, Harbaugh signed this contract a year ago.
Yeah.
If you're Ward Manuel, you literally don't have to do a goddamn thing with that contract.
Nothing.
If Jim Harbaugh gets a better deal and goes to the NFL, then that's on Jim Harbaugh. He's made that decision to do that. He's gone back, you know, whatever contract he signed a year ago clearly isn't good enough. Go to the NFL, whatever the deal is. But this idea that Ward Manuel is backed into a corner and has to pony up and has to do this and has to do, Ward Manuel doesn't have to do shit if he doesn't want to. And to be quite honest, why would he? He's only been under that contract for a year. Now I get it. Jim's had two great years. And Nick, maybe I'm losing my mind. I'll give some credibility to that. But I don't want Jim Harbaugh gone. I have said it repeatedly on this show and in various articles that my preference is that Jim Harbaugh stays because I believe that's what's best for the program, assuming he wants to be here.
Right.
But what's not best for the program is to continue to be in this position year after year. And it's not just me saying that. It's parents, players saying that. It's coming from other areas. So no, I don't have a personal gripe against Jim Harbaugh. I don't hate the guy. I love what he's done. I give him all the credit in the world. And if it were up to me, we wouldn't be here in his statement instead of no man knows the future would have been, I'm all in here at Michigan. Let's go win a fucking national championship in 2023. That's what I would prefer. But we're not getting that. And because we're not getting that, I take issue with it, particularly given what Harbaugh said after the Vikings interview last year. So no, it's not about me and wanting Jim Harbaugh gone. I just want him to make up his goddamn mind. If you want to be here, then be here. And if you don't, then go. But this thing where you're going to need an updated contract every single year to make yourself happy or whatever the reason is, I don't give a shit what the reason is. The bottom line is the indecisiveness in carrying this out into the offseason, especially after your two most successful years when you should be capitalizing on that and the recruiting trail, sucks. Sucks for the fans, sucks for the program, sucks for the players who are waiting to see what happens, sucks for their families, sucks for recruits. It's not good for anybody.
Yeah, so the buyout thing, I understand to a degree because people are saying like, well, yeah, he did just sign the new contract, but the buyout is super low and that's the problem. Is Jim Harbaugh going to buy himself out and go play Golden Tee? Like, dude, coach the team. Unless he gets another offer, he's not going anywhere anyways. And I'll tell you what, if a professional football team wants a college football coach, you can put any number you want on that buyout. They're paying it. It happens every single year. Every year. And not even at the pros. In the college level, it happens. Dude, if a program wants a coach gone bad enough or another program wants a coach bad enough, the buyout might as well be a freaking Burger King coupon, dude. It doesn't matter. Optically, okay. To look good to recruits, yes, Jim Harbaugh, say he's got a $30 million buyout. Recruits are going to be like, damn, that must mean they want him pretty bad. They're not going to let him go. It doesn't matter. He'll go if he wants to go. If somebody wants him bad enough, Harbaugh will pay a third. The other team will pay the other two-thirds. It'll happen. Like, none of this matters. The only thing that matters is whether or not he gets a job offer from the NFL or whether he wants to stay in Ann Arbor or leave. Like, that's really it. And when you're delivering these half-assed messages or going back on your word or doing this or doing that, it's just bad. It's bad for everybody involved. And it's bad for the program. It's bad. We said this last time. It's bad for his own program that he's probably back coaching next year because I don't think he's going to get a job offer. I mean, like, if it didn't happen last year, Yeah, that's, I mean, that's just, that's not the best approach for himself to even do it that way.
How much of this, I mean, you've seen it on social media. You've seen the accusations that are floating out there now that Ward is the roadblock, essentially, to Michigan being able to unlock the sleeping giant of Michigan's NIL potential.
Well,
how much of this with Jim Harbaugh and the, you know, the interviewing with the NIL or the NFL and all this other bullshit, how much of this do you think is related to specifically NIL?
Well, unless Ward Manuel has nothing to do with NIL. So unless you're like, I want a box. I want to be in the suite and Ward won't let you. That's the only thing he can do. He can't say dick to anybody about wanting to give players money. Zero. Right. Nada. Cause we've done it. What are we talking about? He has no jurisdiction to say, don't do that. Can he be pissed about you doing it? Yeah. If you're a man with a sack, you don't give a shit. That's the difference. That's the difference. So NIL, Ward doesn't want the... No, miss me with that. That's a cop-out. That's a flat-out cop-out. And by the way, he hired Juwan Howard, right? He did hire Juwan Howard. Everybody loved that hire. I was a little on the fence about it. Obviously, he won a Big Ten title. He's been good. He's been bad. There's been some up and downs, whatever. That's another story. What he has been openly beating the drum about getting more help with NIL. Like, are we not? Jim Harbaugh, you spoke about it with members of the Regents at, on hand at a practice. Like, his two biggest, most vocal, most famous, most influential people on campus are beating down the doors to get help with NIL. You think Ward is sitting up there saying, nah, guys, we're not doing that?
No,
I can't believe it, dude.
No,
I can't believe it even for a second. Not even a second.
Ward's up there in his office. You know how, like in the movies, where the leather chairs turned away, like facing towards the window, and he turns around slowly and just looks at Jim and says, "No."
He's also He's also a former athlete. He's not like some. He's a very bright dude. I'm not saying he's not, but he's not Schlissel, who could give a shit about if a sporting event ever happened before. He's a former athlete, dude. Like, he's going to want these things to be better for the people that represent where he used to be. I can't get on board with it at all.
Like, why is Ward getting so much blame for the lack of NIL at the University of Michigan when I'm under the impression that the University of Michigan can't even really have anything to do with some of that shit? Like, I know Ward put out this little list of, like, you know, here's four NIL, you know, programs that we really support here at the University of Michigan. They're good. They've done a lot, yada, yada, yada. But again, you don't need Ward's approval to do any of this shit. And if you are a donor and alum, you've got some money and you've got some connections and you want to put some shit together, you don't need Ward Manuel's permission to do that.
There is also this. We've talked about this with President Ono before, too. This is a good point, Cody. Dude, he's over the whole athletic department. It's not just Jim Harbaugh in football. Now, granted, like, that's a massive part of what he does. There's no doubt. But, like, he's doing other things as well. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Let's just bomb them all. Get them out of there. Let me and Chris run
it. Hire everybody and let us run it.
I'll be the AD. Chris can coach the football team. I'll also be the OC.
Going to be a lot of five wide down there. Just get ready for it. A lot of five wide.
Andrell's coming back.
Andrell, you're coming back. We're paying you a lot. You're coming back. We're going to get you the ball.
All right. So
Speaking of Andrell, congrats to your new home out there in Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner. Dude, put it on his social media. And I got to say,
drip.
Pretty drippy out there in that Oklahoma uniform with the gray. So, I've been a big fan of him, going to pay attention to his career. And it seems like Oklahoma is probably going to give 40 minutes.
There it is.
Probably going to give him a better shot at showcasing his skills than he was able to here at Michigan. And it's a bummer, but wishing him luck.
You know what? I looked at something. Granted, a couple more games. Ronnie Bell had more catches than any receiver at Oklahoma this year. Oh,
60. Michigan. What was it?
62.
Okay.
Yep. 62. So, you know,
leading receiver, the tight end.
I think it actually was. I'm not second or third. So, you know, it's like we've talked about. We have no idea what we're talking about, Chris. None. Like, we want to throw the ball.
Listen, Nick, if they hire me as head coach, I will wear the Saban straw hat and I will walk that sideline in jorts gladly. Five wide, spread it out, throw the goddamn ball.
Listen,
that's all I want to do. That's all I want
to
do.
I seem to remember one part of this enterprise right here rocking a straw hat and catching a lot of flack from it from one Chris Bryant. Well,
that straw hat was pretty the radius on that damn thing was like 4.5 feet. I mean, there is only a certain circumference that, you know, if you're about here with the straw hat, that's one thing. But once you start to get out to like here, when people have to like actively move when you're walking down the sidewalk to make sure they don't make contact with it.
Serving a glorious purpose and perfectly designed to keep you sun free is what I would call it, but we digress as usual. So Andrel Anthony found a home at Oklahoma. Alan Bowman, interestingly enough, headed back to the Big 12, went to Oklahoma State. And look, dude, like Spencer Sanders, their former quarterback, is on his way out. So, like,
4-year starter entered the transfer portal.
I think Bowman's going there thinking he's going to get a shot to play. I thought he was going to get a shot at Michigan. Didn't even get close to happening. Like,
In hindsight, I think he just wanted that shot at Ross School of Business. That's what I think he came to Michigan
for.
Fair
enough.
And obviously, with Cade being unproven, JJ being a freshman, there was some belief there that Allen could take that starting role away from Cade. Obviously, that never transpired. I went and looked back at Bowman's career statistics at Michigan. He threw like 11 passes through 2 years. I mean, dude did not play at all. Play. So, but when you go back and you look at his numbers at Texas Tech, I mean, he can sling it. The dude was a baller. And going back to Oklahoma State, especially with a starting quarterback on his way out, seems like Bowman might have a legitimate chance to once again make his case there. So, good luck to him as well.
Well, and he was great. We had him on the pod long, long ago when we thought he might be in, like, right when he transferred. Great dude, man. Had great conversations with him. He always looked very engaged and very dialed in on the sidelines, always warming guys up, always walking around, always taking his notes and doing exactly what a backup quarterback is supposed to do. You know, hard not to root for a guy like that. He just didn't play at Michigan. So hopefully he gets a shot at OK State. I see Nadim, hope I'm saying your name right there, asking about the corners who are going pro. I'll go ahead and throw Mazi Smith and Mike Morris into that discussion as well, Jamon Green, and also DJ Turner. But Chris, I asked you this exact question. When Jamon Green announced that he was leaving to go pro, and I wonder if that was one of those discussions where he wasn't pushed, but like, you know, if there was a little bit like, well, we might be looking at some of these younger guys, and that's where it gets interesting. So Will Johnson is the truth. That dude's he's locking down half the field for the next 3 years. Probably 2 years if we're being honest. Who starts at corner opposite Will Johnson?
I don't know. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I mean,
we tried to.
These guys are obviously good in the positions they're at, but is it something that you know, do you move Mike Sainer still over? Do you give Rod Moore a shot like that? Is it one of these younger guys like Keon Sab or, you know, some of the other young, you know, Miles Pollard, I think, is in the mix as well. You know, they've got some guys there, but they're unproven with very, very little playing experience unless you start to tinker around with some of the guys, like I said, Sainer still, Rod Moore. And I don't think you want to do that because they're really good in their role. And so, does Michigan bring in the transfer?
I was going to say they've done really well in the transfer portal. Maybe you look there, but let me throw a few names at you and we can just spitball like what we've seen, what we haven't seen, expectations, whatever. You've got him. He's rocking the Uno. Jaden McBurrows, now more famous for the tunnel incident than anything he's done on the field. But I do remember a time when he was a true freshman and he was just showing up at practice where he was getting some praise. Now, we haven't seen him play. I don't know. He's pretty drippy. He's wearing the number one. I know, Chris, you might give him a look based on that alone.
Well, drip, as we all know, drip gives you at least 10 to 15% additional to whatever skill set you have. Just add another 10 to 15% if you got drip and you're that much better. I mean, he could be in the mix, but again, largely unproven. And especially at that position, man, unless you're one of those rare breeds like a Will Johnson, or a Mike Sainer still who can make the transition from offense to defense and play at a high level. I feel like you just want some guy who's got some playing experience opposite of Will Johnson, because if you're very, very young at the corner position, it just seems like a bad place to be, man. Especially, you know, not necessarily in the early part of the schedule when you're playing like Eastern Carolina or some of these other teams, but when you get into the meat of your schedule, you're not going to want unproven guys out there on the edge. And so I don't know if the transfer portal is the answer. I don't know if you start to move around. I see a lot of people in the comments mentioning Damani Jackson, finger, you know, praying that he makes the transition to Ann Arbor. Don't know that that's going to happen, but I wouldn't hate it, obviously, but I'm also not banking on that.
So you mentioned Keon Sabb. Thought he was viewed more as a safety in high school, but I mean, you know, you look at his measurable 6'1", 208. That's a little bigger than your typical corner, but, I mean, he's shorter than Will Johnson. I mean, so, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Damani Dent, another one, raw, super raw, athletic. Is he a corner? Is he a safety? He's 5'11", 196. Same thing with Zeke Berry, viewed and listed more as a safety coming out of high school. Cody Jones is an interesting one. Built like Mike Sane, was still small, quicker. Is he a nickel or is he an outside corner kind of guy? Miles Pollard is the other one. We're talking about another long, lean, athletic guy like Will Johnson.
We saw Miles Pollard when we were out at Muskegon following the team around their summer trip. I mean, that was the best look I got at Miles Pollard. He was lined up against Will Johnson, who was playing wide receiver. He was defending him, locking him down. I mean, you know, he looks good. He's got the length. I mean, you know, he certainly could be in the mix, but again, unproven, doesn't really have the reps. I don't know if he, I mean, did he play at all during his freshman year?
If he did, I don't think it was enough to lose his red shirt. I mean, it might have been like the first three or four games. I think someone said Jalen Perry. He's done, if I'm not mistaken. He's on his graduate year, but I know he would be a graduate heading into next year, and then obviously the COVID year as well. So, like, those are the kind of guys who you're like, I don't know what that discussion is like behind closed doors. Excuse me, but like that's the kind of guy who like might be time to look moving on. I mean, like no, you know, not trying to disparage him or his efforts he's done at Michigan, but like also a tell. There's always a tell if you've got a guy who's in like his third, fourth, or fifth year, and he's on like his fourth jersey number. Bro's probably not playing. Like. You know, you pick a number and then they're like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and give that to someone else. And then the next year it happens again. He's wearing number 31. I think he's wore three or four different numbers at Michigan. Like that's usually kind of a sign that he's not seeing the field. So anyway, I mean, I'm not trying to be like a dick about it, but like, that's how it works. You got that many guys. You have to be pushed out to do a different jersey number. It's probably not going to get you a lot of playing time. And that's just the way it is. Nick just throwing us the donations thing. I'll keep putting up there. I will not call him Chris the Drip Briler, especially. I don't think we ever discussed this on the pod. It's so egregious. I can't even get the words out. Chris Briler had the audacity,
oh boy,
to say that Pistol Pete Maravich had zero drip. Zero.
I'd like to hear, you know, now there's probably going
to
be now
I'm about to take the headset off.
Given our age, probably most fans out there know who we're referring to with Pistol Pete. There's probably some people out there like, who the hell is Pistol Pete? Let me tell you something. If your basketball shorts are thigh high, you've got no drip, zero drip. Now, did he have moves? Did he have a repertoire of things he could do on the court? Absolutely. But the dude was not drippy. Give me a break. Where's the drip?
Oh, my God.
Listen, there you go. Nick, he agrees. Where are we at? CJ, you agree. Come on. John Patrick, you think Pistol Pete had drip? Where's the drip? What part of him is drip?
Dude,
did he have an arm sleeve? Did he have dreads?
They didn't even exist in 1974.
What did he have? He had Converse.
He had custom shoes. The back of the man's jersey said Pistol, my guy. Pistol. He didn't even have his last name back there. It was Pistol. He was putting dudes on skates from day one. He was pouring in 50 a night without a three-point line.
That's great, but those are results. That's not drip. Those are just results. Those are things that happen.
It was a different period, but he is a drip forefather.
Hold the hell on a second. Listen to me. Listen to me. Okay? We're going to get
Nick,
something straight.
Nick, I'm about to kick you out of the...
We're going
to
get something straight. You're telling me that's drip?
As hell. No. The single digit above number five, bro, back in the 70s, dude?
There's no... There's not even a wristband.
They didn't rock them.
No arm sleeve. No elbow pad. Nothing.
Nick.
No drip.
You're about to be banned forever.
There you go, Nick.
If you think that anything Pistol Pete did was fundamental, you need to look. You need to go to YouTube in a hurry.
Hold on, there needs to be a distinction. Drip has nothing to do with the way you play.
Oh, I strongly disagree. That's how I could not disagree more,
dude. There's guys that play well that have no drip.
Also true. I mean,
Brett Favre, was he drippy? No, hell of a quarterback. Terrible person. No drip.
Was Michael Jordan drippy?
Yes.
Thighs, dude. Whole thighs, balls were almost out the bottom of his shorts, dude.
Okay, but he also had the leg sleeve, he wore the armbands, and he had the Jordan shoes, which are iconic. Drip, drip, drip.
Pistol was wearing Jordan shoes before Jordan was born. Well, not before he was born, but come on, dude.
Cody Engel giving Pistol Pete drip credit for that hairdo.
Dude, it was so drippy in the 70s. You can't take a guy from the 70s and put him in 2020 and say, like, look, there's no drip. It's not the same.
By the way, we've lost 55% of our viewers.
I don't care. This needs to be aired out. This needs to be aired out in a big way.
Oh, boy.
All right, where are we? I'm done. I'm done with the show. I can't do a show with someone who talks that way about Pistol Pete Maravich. I can't do it.
Unbelievable. Good player, zero drip.
Holy shit. to just dismiss Pistol Pete as a good player also. A good player,
zero drip.
I'm over it, dude. I'm over
it. Jim Duncan, good player, zero drip.
No drip.
Carl Malone, good player, zero drip.
Well, by your metric.
Dan Marley, good player, zero drip.
By your metric, Karl Malone wore double wristbands and had juice in his hair, bro.
He had more drip than Pistol Pete. I'll give him that.
Oh, look at the pad, dude. Look at the drip on Pistol. Okay,
now that's a little drippy. That's a little drippy. I'll give credit for that.
Oh,
now there is some drip. What was that, later in his career?
Look, rocking the 2-3 before Jordan knew his name, bro. Yeah,
But again, dude, he's got like a bowl cut. There's no drip there. There's nothing.
Wristband again, the single digit seven, dude, dripped out.
Nah. It's like saying Luke Longley had drip.
Dude, a knee brace that you could have fixed a lawnmower with, and then the gold chain, bro, while he's playing.
Okay, now listen. Now there's some. I didn't know he was rocking a gold chain. There's some drip. I'll give credit where credit's due. Some accessories, but that's what drip is. It's the accessories. It's not the way you play. It's what you're wearing while you play.
Dude, he's coming to steal your girl right now.
Dude.
This guy looks like
he was part of the Beatles.
That's it. I don't even like the Beatles, but if you say right now that the Beatles had no drip, you're out of here, dude. I don't even like the Beatles. I don't like them at all.
A little drippy. Slightly trippy.
We really have lost like 100 followers. All right. To kind of wrap things up, Chris.
I don't give a shit.
Hey, this is what we do. This is what we do. Sean Bennett had a super chat. If it's disparaging Pistol Pete, I'm never reading one of your comments again, Sean. I'm just going
to We'll move on when we're damn ready to move on, Willie B. We'll stay on drip all night.
So,
until it's just Brandon and I.
You know what? I did a whole interview with Ron. Maybe I can still put that up because it's not overly time sensitive. I did a whole interview with Ronnie Bell before the bowl game about Kendrick, about his younger brother, and about his prospect as a player and what that might look like. So to answer your question, Sean, do we think that we could see Ronnie Bell's little brother as a defensive guy? You know, he's listed as an athlete. I don't know if you can say definitely not playing quarterback. When you look at him, looks like a quarterback.
Yeah.
He's 6'4". He's 185. He's stretched out. He's got a whip for an arm. He's not playing like nickel corner. He's not built like a corner. Like, I don't at all. Whether he stays at quarterback or gets a look at receiver, I think that's to be determined. But I don't see any kind of help in the secondary from a guy like him, but maybe I'm wrong. He looks way too thin and way too stretched out. And just
are we talking 2023 or are we talking about in
the, I think, in general, definitely not next year. Like, definitely not next year, but I don't see it with him personally. He's just not the right body type for that, but you know, we'll see. Yeah. Interestingly enough, I forgot about this. There was a point in time earlier this year where one Omarion Walker was getting reps at cornerback. Do you remember that, Chris?
I do remember that. I remember him being surprised by that. I mean, given his size and, you know,
that's what made me think of it. I'm like 6'4", kind of stretched out. I'm like, well, they tried it with a guy just like that.
Yeah.
Earlier this year with Omarion Walker, they put him in the number one jersey. He went out there. It was like the first two or three games of the year. I don't think we'll see that from Kendrick Bell, but you never know. I mean, that's a guy that Michigan kind of took a flyer on late, and you know, he committed, he signed, he's going to be there. And Ronnie was pretty clear about the fact that Ronnie himself and Kendrick himself, they want quarterback. That's what the family wants. That's what Kendrick wants. He's going to get a shot. He was told that he would get a shot to stay at QB. And so, you know, we'll see what that happens. So Sean, back to your point where you say definitely not quarterback. I think that's the plan with him for now, but it's early. I mean, it's super early.
Very, very early. Too early.
Yeah, I do think that the cornerback battle is going to be an interesting one now that Jamon Green has declared and DJ Turner has declared. Will Johnson will never come off the field again for as long as he's at Michigan. And it's going to be about finding that other guy back there because they should still have, you know, quite a bit of experience and snap count and all that stuff when it comes to the safeties. I mean, when you look at how much Makari Page played this year. We already mentioned Rod Moore. I believe RJ Moten is back as well, right? I mean, he hasn't gone anywhere.
Junior, yeah.
So you've got those three guys who have played a ton of football at the safety positions. We mentioned a couple of the young guys, Keon Sab, Damani Dent, Zeke Berry. I mean, these were highly touted recruits that are looking to get a shot back there. And maybe it ends up being at corner. Who knows?
We'll see how that plays out. And I saw somebody said it earlier that, you know, Michigan needs some size at wide receiver. And look, at this point, we still don't know, at least to my knowledge, unless something happened while we're on the show, don't know what Cornelius Johnson is going to do. But, dude, if somebody asked me to put my chips in, now, granted, I don't have a good track record of doing that, at least in the 2022 season. But if I'm putting all my chips in a wide receiver for 2023, I'm going all in on Darius Clemens. Been around the dude, been in his presence. He showed up on campus looking like he's already been playing college football for a few years. 6'3", 214 pounds. Dude, trash. Get the hell out of here.
I'm done. 6'3",
214 pounds, can run like a deer. We saw it in the spring game. I mean, he looked incredible during the spring game. Didn't get a ton of reps offensively. He played on special teams, not a ton of reps offensively in 2022. But obviously, now with Andrell gone, Ronnie Bell gone, a guy like Darius Clemens figures to be one of the main factors in that offense. And then you got Omarion Walker, and he's another guy. You get around him, you see the length, you see the size, you see, you know, how his legs are built. 6'3", 180 pounds, a little bit on the skinnier side. But again, another one of those dudes that looks like he can go up and snag the ball out of the air. And so between those two guys, Roman Wilson returning, still not sure what's going to happen with AJ Henning at this point, but man, they have some weapons on this offense that they can certainly utilize. And then if you get Cornelius Johnson back, I mean, you know, you saw what he could do against Ohio State. He's extremely fast when he gets in the open field, deceptively fast. I think you said he runs 23, 24 miles an hour, which, you know, puts him up with like the NFL elite. They can be dangerous at that position if they choose to be. That's the question. But then you can also turn to your backfield where you've got, by the way, Blake Corums and Donovan Edwards. And, a JJ McCarthy with a full year of experience under his belt, who's going to be confident as shit when he comes back in 2023. So a lot going on for that offense.
And a Colston Loveland who already looks like a 15-year NFL veteran. Yeah.
And a transfer tight end from Indiana who doesn't look too bad himself. I forget what his name is, but I was watching his highlight reel today, and the dude can go up, snag the ball out of the air, looks physical, looks like he can be dominant when he wants to. I mean, they have weapons.
AJ Barner, 6'6", 255, I think. Yep. Big dude, but big. Not the athlete that Loveland is. Not a burner. He can go over the middle. Yeah, he can go over the middle. He can make a catch in traffic. He can, you know, go up over smaller defenders. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But loaded. I mean, absolutely loaded on offense. And Chris, I was down a Pistol Pete drip rabbit hole. Did you mention Tyler Morris even?
Who was getting not.
More snaps than Clemens and Walker at some points during the year. So, yeah, I mean.
Same high school in Illinois as J.J. McCarthy, right? The Nazareth Academy or whatever the hell it was. And so they've got a bit of a connection there.
Yep.
He obviously got some playing time in 2022, and there's a lot of people that are saying look out for Tyler Morris. And so, again, just weapons everywhere. Some things need to be figured out on the offensive line. But this team is going to be stacked. And I said it in one of the articles that I put out earlier this week. I don't think there's much of an argument that Michigan is going to field probably the most talented roster on both sides of the ball in the Big Ten Conference in 2023. They just have a ton of talent everywhere.
They're losing some guys, but it's like the guys that they have ready to take the next step. You're like, they might be better. They might be, they might have that higher ceiling type of, you know, type of ability.
We'll see what happens with Chris Jenkins, but Chris Jenkins, Rayshon Benny, Kenneth Grant, Mason Graham.
So like,
Braden McGregor, Jalen Harrell.
Right. You lose a guy like Mike Morris. You lose a guy like Mike Morris, and you're like, all right, who? Well, Derek Moore might end up being better than
Derek Moore.
Like, flat out.
There's four. Derek Moore, Yabby Oki, Braden McGregor, and Jalen Harrell.
Your four.
There's your four right there. And they're all really, really good.
You need five big hefties in the middle. I'll give you Kenneth Grant. I'll give you Mason Graham. I'll give you probably Chris Jenkins. And, oh, yeah.
Rayshon Benny,
who's looking like he's coming along. yeah, dude. They're putting together a roster.
Rod Moore, Will Johnson, Mike Sainer. I mean, you look at the secondary. The only question is who's going to be that other corner. But you look at both sides of the ball, and there's just weapons and talent and experience. Mm-hmm. And Mike Barrett, by the way, Junior Colson.
I wasn't trying to ignore Sean Bennett. I was just waiting until we kind of went position by position. But there is no word on Mike Barrett yet, as far as we both know. And I think his decision is an interesting one because he's kind of a tweener, but those kind of dudes can really succeed in the NFL these days. They're not quite fast or athletic enough to play safety. They're a little bit small to be like a true every down linebacker. But so much of the game is played in space nowadays that you can play with a dude like that pretty easily.
Tell us how that works.
Yeah, exactly. So if he's back at Michigan, obviously that makes Michigan's defense that much better. But when you've got a trio of young backers now named Junior Colson, Jimmy Rolder, who played a lot as a true freshman.
Yeah.
And Ernest Hausman, who might be the best linebacker on the team now. And that's not hyperbole. And I think the world of Junior Colson. That kid is a freaking pro. They have two definite professional linebackers on their team now in Junior Colson and Ernest Hausman. I think it's a little early to determine for Jimmy Rolder, but he's the biggest of the group, and he played a lot as a true freshman. They talked about how fast he came along and just his kind of know-how on the field. And again, the size, he's the biggest of the three.
And there's also the big question mark with Nakai Hill-Green. Injured for almost the entire season. But if you go back and you look at the beginning of the year, he had secured a starting spot and then was out for the entire year. And so you're not sure what's going to happen there. Again, it's just weapons, experience. They have everything they need. And the way the schedule stacks up, now you got to go to Happy Valley, which isn't going to be easy, no matter what the roster looks like. You got to go to East Lansing, which is a shit show. You know, that we know what that can look like. But you get the Buckeyes at home. You get a favorable early schedule. This team has everything it needs to make it three straight over Ohio State, three straight appearances, Big Ten championships, and then three straight appearances in the college football playoff. And they would be the first Big Ten team in playoff history to make it three straight appearances. And I go back to what I said in the beginning of the show. Nobody knows how long this window is going to be there. But they've got the guys to do it now. They've been close 2 years in a row. They can do it again, but you got to close the deal. And Georgia's not going to have Stetson Bennett this year, albeit they're going to have another five-star quarterback behind center. But that's always going to be the case. There's always going to be an SEC team out there that's going to be, you know, a pain in the ass to try to get through. But Michigan has to take the next step next year because just getting to the playoff, I don't know. If you were sitting on your couch on Monday, did it feel like enough for you? didn't feel like enough for me. I was bummed out. I felt like a huge missed opportunity. I can't imagine what the players felt like. Yeah, I saw Sharon Moore. I saw on Twitter somebody was like, somebody said something as the game was going on. They tweeted out, they were like, "This isn't TCU's fault. This is Michigan's fault." And Sharon Moore responded and said, "Don't remind me." They're feeling it. They're feeling it. They agree that it was a missed opportunity. But again, as Brandon and I just pointed out, whether it's on the offensive side, on the defensive side, they have so much talent coming back that you have to capitalize. And at this point where the program is at, capitalizing isn't just beating Ohio State and winning a Big Ten championship. Capitalizing is go and win a natty. You can do it. And you've been close. You've been within two games. You can do it. You got to finish the deal.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no doubt. And Michigan now has a chance to do something special. You see a lot of people commenting on that there. Make it to the playoff 3 years in a row for the first time ever out of the Big Ten. And so they're poised. I mean, they are poised, and they are.
Correct, Sean. No team from the Big Ten has made it three consecutive years. Yeah.
Right. Obviously, Ohio State's been there multiple times. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia now has been there multiple times.
I think Alabama went like four straight years.
Yeah. You know, maybe more than that. I mean, them not making it is like, what the hell's going on?
It's weird. Alabama? It's such a rarity that the committee was literally hunkered down trying to figure out a way, like, how do we get a two-loss Bama in this mix? I know.
They brought Saban on to like debate everybody. Like, what do you think, Nick?
Yeah.
No, Michigan, it sets up for them very well. It sets up for them very well. They don't have, it's the same. I wouldn't say they have a weakness anywhere. Couple question marks on the O-line, depending what Zinner and Keegan do. Even if they come back, you're still, you know, what's the tackles going to look like? How good is the new center? Because, Olu was that good.
Yeah.
I saw somebody say, you know, there's still a question mark when it comes to wide receiver play. I don't know if it's wide receiver play as much as it is play calling and scheme and system, but when you've got Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum, do you even need a wide receiver on the roster?
But you know what was comforting about that is that against Ohio State, you know, we questioned whether or not you can turn that on and you can make it happen when you need to. Michigan did that against Ohio State very clearly. And you know where else they did it? Against TCU. If they hadn't dug themselves such a big hole initially, JJ was dropping back, flea flicker, hitting Ronnie Bell downfield, hitting Roman Wilson downfield. That passing game was humming. It looked like everything I thought it could be. It was explosive, electric. I mean, big plays down the field. That's there. And so, you know, again, you get Roman Wilson back, you lose Ronnie Bell, but I don't doubt that you can put in Darius Clemens, you can get the same result.
Cornelius Johnson. Nick, I don't know why you want it, but I'll commit to it. Yes. If Michigan wins a natty, we will do a live shirtless podcast. Yes. Wait, tackle me for all.
Why?
I don't know.
You know what? I'm fine doing, like, can we do a deep V? We'll just have the taco meat out. What's the point in going? No, please, for the love of God.
Whoa. This is, man, there's kids and women.
Turn your screen brightness down, everybody.
Well, that I'll have to get back in the tanning bed, Chris. We'll do a little Matt Kirby.
We'll have to hit the booth.
You lose the sledgehammer, it's going to hurt. But I'm telling you right now,
Tommy Dolman.
Watch out for Tommy Dolman, because that mother scratcher looks like a scholarship tight end.
Or like a big time quarter, like one of those tall ass quarter. I mean, dude, I was watching him again before I got kicked out of the open practice. He was on the other side there of Glick and whatever that other Osterbahn Fieldhouse or whatever the hell it is. He was over there. He was working, working on his field goals. Dude's huge. He's got a big leg. They'll be just fine.
He's got Pistol Pete-esque hair. Drip, dude. He's drippy as hell.
He's got a little drip to him.
They did sign Adam Samaha out of Ann Arbor, who was viewed as one of the best kickers in the country.
Yeah.
You saw Jake Moody start playing as a youngster, and he did it for a long time. And that's how he's the all-time leading scorer. So I never worry that much. Michigan prioritizes special teams. They go out and they get guys. Brad Robbins, and before him it was why is his name escaping me now? The punter before Robbins, who was really good for a lot of years. Who was it? Why can't I remember who that was? Chris, do you got it?
What was the question?
Brad Robbins.
Sorry, I was dope. Hart.
Will Hart. Yes.
Yes, right? Was it Hart? Was his last name Will Hart? Yes.
Yeah, Will Hart. So they've always prioritized the special teams players, and they've always had good ones. They've always had good ones. No, Will Hart was not the Aussie. They had an Aussie before him.
That was Trouble with the Snap.
That was Blake. What the hell was his name?
Something Australian.
See, we forgot about him because of what he did against Michigan State. Blake, whatever.
Blocked it out. Blocked it out. Oh, something? I don't remember.
Blake O'Neal. That's it.
O'Neal. That's what it was.
So, yeah. So, anyway, you lose the all-time leading scorer in program history in a guy like, you know, Jake Moody. You might feel it a little. But I think Michigan's going to be just fine on all fronts. The roster is loaded. The schedule sets up nicely. 2023.
You've got Ohio State that will not have CJ Stroud. You've got Michigan State who's returning. Who the hell's Michigan State's quarterback? I've already forgot that dude's name. Veteran guy. What's his name? Anyway, he's coming back, which is good news for
him. Lombardi is coming back to Michigan State. Yes. Now that guy. No drip.
Peyton Thorne. There you go. Thank you, Cody Engel. Peyton Thorne will be back, which I'm excited about that as a Michigan football fan. You look around the Big Ten, it sets up very nicely for Michigan to three-peat as conference champions. And if you do that, you're right back in the college football playoff. And, talent. Regardless of, you know, who the head coach is, what's going on with NIL, Michigan has talent, and they can do it again. So,
and then it's 12 teams in the playoff. I mean, Michigan goes like every year, right? I mean,
There we go. So,
yeah, we'll see. I don't know. That's a pretty good show, man. I mean, we did a good, solid segment on Pistol Pete.
Too much bitching about Jim Harbaugh. Not too much bitching, right? A little bit, but not too much.
The bathwater drinkers probably would disagree, but whatever. It's fine. I'm good for it.
Or, Jim, make a goddamn decision. That's it. Get it done, one way or another. Get it done.
Chris, I don't know if you saw this. We got together today. We met for a while.
We did meet for a while. Had some spicy wings. Spicy. I think the folks at Buffalo Wild Wings tried to sabotage me, by the way. I asked for original buffalo, and that's what I always ask for at B-Dubs. They brought out original buffalo this time, and I'm telling you, I couldn't do it. I got like two in, and I'm like, I can't eat anymore. I questioned the waitress. She told me they were original buffalo. I think she was lying to me. Not sure what was going on there. Maybe a little conspiracy theory, but those bad boys were spicy.
I'm thinking about what it did to my insides, and now I forgot why I actually stopped the music and what I was going to say.
We were at the restaurant for a while. What we talked for a while?
It was something that we talked about on there. Now I can't remember what it was.
Something that we talked about at Buffalo Wild Wings. I think Buffalo Wild Wings should be a sponsor, to be quite honest. I mean, it's pretty much like our second home at this point.
Son of a bitch. I can't remember what it was now, dude.
You're getting old.
Nick is throwing shots for me not having a microphone. I have a mic and I sound glorious. So I'm good.
It's hands free, brother.
I'm good on what I've got right here. Dude, I really can't remember what it was. And we had a...
Listen, this is what happens when you're approaching your 40s. You walk in the kitchen, you stand there, you're like, why the fuck did I come in here? And almost always the reason was, oh yeah, because I wanted to get something to eat.
Well, I forgot what it was. If I remember, I'll do something with it, I think.
That's a shame, because it seemed like, I mean, it was worth stopping the music for.
Yeah,
it seemed like it was going to be noteworthy.
There was another like point that I wanted to make, and now I forgot what it was. I don't know. Either way, we'll be back on Wednesday. You know, unless we have to call an impromptu. Like, that's what made me think of it last time. I said,
Don't lose it.
I don't know if you saw this, Chris, and I can't remember who the NFL reporter was, but reportedly, and it was somebody who's like valid, you know, in the NFL, a news breaking type of person, not like a chef, sure, or somebody like that. If Sean Payton turns down the Denver Broncos job, it's Jim Harbaugh's to lose. Like, that's being pretty widely reported and accepted.
Yeah, but he doesn't want the job. He wants to be at Michigan. This is just leverage.
I'm just saying that is out there. And again, it's the same thing we've been hearing now from people who are plugged in the NFL. He is on their list. He's high on their list. Sean Payton probably a little ahead of him, which I'd probably go that direction too, but I actually heard an argument from Colin Cowherd that was pretty convincing. I'm going to put a story up on that tomorrow, I think, but we'll see, man. Anyway, it's out there. That's what made me think of it, because I'm like, well, we'll be back on next Wednesday unless we get some news about the Broncos or the Colts or this or that or whatever.
Well, here's hoping we don't have to wait till next Wednesday to get some resolution on this show. So I hope to come back sooner.
Then if that's the case, if we are hoping we don't have to wait that long, you will see us sooner than a week from today.
You will.
There you go. Thank you for tuning in. Hour and 15. Ooh. Trip, taco meat, balls hanging out of shorts. We had it all tonight, dude. We had it all.
Balls hanging out of shorts. I must have missed that.
No, you said you can't have shorts that short.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
The balls were hanging out of his shorts, dude. He came into the league. Jordan won.
Different kind of drip.
Golly, man.
Oh, boy.
I'm getting a Pistol Pete jersey. I'm ordering that shit right now. All right. We'll talk whenever. We'll talk when we need to talk. If not,
thanks for hanging on.
Good Lord. I'm going to bed.